This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman and you'll get a $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Once again, I have the extraordinary privilege of being able to share vital health information with you. And we're going to do this for the next hour or so. We invite you to participate. You can call us at 888-302-3684 anytime this hour or next to pose your question about any kind of health problem or any kind of nutritional issue, 888-302-3684. And we've got lots to talk about on this weekend. We've got some interesting stories coming up. We'll be talking a little bit about why some people may be genetically programmed to be vegetarians. Have you ever wondered why it works for some people but not for others? Well, new scientific research suggests that some people have a sweet spot for a vegetarian-type diet. 888-302-3684. Antibiotics can literally drive you crazy, according to a new study. And before we get to your phone calls, before we get to some of those stories, this falls into the category of I told you so. I've been talking about the benefits of full-fat dairy for years now. You know, America has been infatuated with the low-fat diet paradigm, and as a result, the food industry has been extraordinarily compliant. And it works well for them because what they do is they take regular milk and they extract the fat from it, and they then make butter and cheese, and then they sell you the dregs, which is skim milk or 1% milk, entirely devoid of the natural fat that comes with milk. And they sell it to you at a premium because they say that it's healthier for you. Well, for years I've been telling you that that's a lot of hype. And now comes some very, very astonishing confirmation of that. And by the way, our current dietary guidelines still emphasize low-fat milk alternatives. They advise us to drink skim 1% or 2% milk each day. By the way, when you're drinking 1% milk or 2% milk, it doesn't mean that it's 99 or 98% fat-free, because full-fat milk is actually just 4%. So you're somewhat reducing the fat content in the belief that the fat in the milk is that dangerous artery-clogging kind of fat, or the fat that will ultimately reach your waistline and your hips. But according to a big study, this is in the medical journal Circulation. Circulation is the official medical journal of the American Heart Association, which, by the way, still posts outmoded recommendations on its website when it comes to diet. They say have low-fat dairy. Well, maybe in the light of the study, they'll change their minds, because a 15-year study involving more than 3,000 adults has found that full-fat dairy can reduce your risk of developing diabetes. By what? 5%? 10%? 20%? No. By a whopping 46% on average. Full-fat dairy products have also been found to lower women's risk of being overweight or obese by 8%. Low-fat dairy wasn't associated with less weight gain. And that's according to another study released just last month in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. So we're doing a 180 in our assessment of these low-fat dairy products. They don't seem to be helping us. They may be helping the food industry squeeze more profits out of us by selling us butter on the one hand, if we prefer it, or devitalized, watered-down milk on the other. Why is it? Why is it that full-fat milk is able to help keep diabetes and obesity in check? Well, one theory is that 0, 1, and 2% fat milk options don't offer satiety the same way that full-fat milk does. So full-fat milk contains enough fat to provide a certain degree of fullness, so you don't go craving other foods and eating, seeking out other sources of calories. Also, it turns out, and we've been talking about this for a long time, low-fat milk is also high in sugar. It's not literally added sugar, unless you buy, chocolate milk or some sort of kiddie milk drink to which sugar has been actually added, but it's high in its natural sugar, which is lactose. That's milk sugar. It's a combination of glucose and galactose, and yes, it has a glycemic index. It can promote insulin resistance because full-fat milk is more of a protein-fat food, and low-fat milk is more of a carbohydrate food. So it turns out that one cup of 2% milk contains 12.3 grams of sugar, which is more than what's in a Reese's peanut butter cup. So it turns out, yeah, once again, we've taken a major wrong turn in our nutritional guidelines and our recommendation to get people on low-fat milk exemplifies that. All right, let's talk to Marilyn in Queens, New York. How you doing, Marilyn? Welcome. Hello, Marilyn. Are you there? We're not here, Marilyn. Okay. Well, let's see if we can get our line straightened out. Oh, hi, Marilyn. How you doing?
Yes, I'm fine.
Good.
I'm okay. And thank you for taking my call, Dr. Hoffman.
Sure.
Okay. My problem is my granddaughter, who is 11 years of age, has been diagnosed with OCD and Tourette's.
Mm-hmm.
She is very anxious. She is on many medications from the psychiatrist and therapist, which really worry me because these meds could affect her in the future.
Absolutely.
And she just
describe what the Tourette's is like. I mean, look, obviously it's very disconcerting for a grandparent. What's it like for your granddaughter? What types of behaviors are characterized as Tourette's?
As Tourette's, well, she verbalizes one word she will just keep saying over and over and over again.
And it's not a swear word.
It sounds like excuse me, type of a thing.
Right.
It isn't anything bad.
Yeah, because in its worst form, Tourette's involves involuntary, explosive verbalizations of profanities. That can be very devastating. But
there's anger here too. There's some anger that comes out.
Anger,
in her,
frustration.
But not bad words. But she gets upset and she gets angry and she frustrated and she's just such a lovely girl and this is just killing me. That's all.
Okay, so this is actually a manifestation of something called PANDAS. PANDAS is a condition that's actually triggered by strep, and what it can result in, strep infections that are poorly controlled or affect the immune system, can cause brain damage that results in OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, where, there's repetitive tics and repetitive behaviors, and also Tourette's, which is a form of OCD. But Tourette's is characterized by sometimes coughing or grunting, throat clearing or twitching. And in the very old days, before they had antibiotics, they had a form of strep infection called St. Vitus dance, which has disappeared now. The disease is now extinct because of the use of antibiotics. And the manifestation of strep infections has changed to Tourette's, which is a more subtle manifestation of this 19th century disease called St. Vitus dance. So some people believe in, give antibiotics to get rid of Tourette's. And I just don't think that works because the bacteria that's caused it is already long gone. Kids who have Tourette's, and I don't treat these kids anymore because I now confine myself to working with adolescents and adults, but they respond really well to nutritional protocols, to really clean diets, to treatment of dysbiosis, which is what's going on in the intestine. It's disrupted, putting probiotics back in, getting rid of harmful bugs, giving magnesium and essential fatty acids, very beneficial. But, you know, the suggestion is that your granddaughter might benefit from going to an integrative pediatrician who has worked with Tourette's, because there really is a pathway towards recovery from that using nutritional support, using the proper diet. I think it really matters. Conventional doctors will tell you, no, the diet has nothing to do with it. But I've seen it really work and really can make a difference. So an unusual condition, sounds like, but actually pretty common, unfortunately. And it takes a terrible toll on young kids. I mean, your granddaughter is obviously a very smart young girl.
Yes.
But when afflicted with this condition, it can be very, very devastating and frustrating. Okay, so give it a shot. Try, you know, go the natural route. Find a pediatric integrative doctor who can work with her. Okay? Thank you very much for calling. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number for the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
The future of holistic health is here. Possessing the power to maintain wellness at the cellular level, RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable new supplement that will transform the future of preventative and restorative health. RegActive features the innovative probiotic strain ME3, a patented probiotic with over 20 years of research proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione, the body's master antioxidant. Glutathione is used by all of our cells, especially in the fight against free radicals, environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Our levels of glutathione decrease dramatically as we age, leaving us very vulnerable to age-related health issues. Revolutionary, remarkable, RegActive. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing Dr. O'Hara's probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. You can find a lot more on Intelligent Medicine at drhoffman.com. Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine podcast and automatically get a new episode 5 days a week. And please rate and review the podcast on iTunes to help us spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Also, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. Finally, become a patient at the Hoffman Center. I'll personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the intelligent medicine principles you hear about on the radio show and podcast, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on Intelligent Medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Thanks for listening and for helping to spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. 888-302-3684 is our number. And have you ever wondered why some people really seem to thrive on a vegetarian diet? They rave about it. And then you try it, and you just feel awful. You just feel lousy. It doesn't work for you. What's up with that? Why is it that some people seem to do fine and others not on a vegan or vegetarian diet? I mean, the way that it's promoted, there are magazines like the Vegetarian Times suggesting that a vegetarian diet is for everyone. And then on the other hand, there are people who advocate a high-meat paleo diet, and they suggest that that's good for everyone. But vegans and vegetarians would demur. They'd say, hey, this is working for me. I've been on it for 30 years. I feel great. My Uncle Ted was a vegetarian. He died at 101. He did great. Never had a morsel of meat his entire life. So what's going on with that? Well, Cornell University researchers have discovered a fascinating genetic variation that may permit people to thrive on vegetarian diets. It's evolved over hundreds of generations, over millennia, And what's interesting is that the distribution of this is somewhat racial and geographic. People from certain parts of the world seem to be more likely to carry the gene that favors an adaptation to a vegetarian diet. And that includes India, Africa, and parts of East Asia. Now, in general, those are parts of the world where quasi-vegetarian diets are more likely to occur. And they're usually also in more temperate climates where there, frankly, is more vegetarian. Vegetarian fare. The researchers published in a journal called Molecular Biology and Evolution, and they looked for a gene that is responsible for what's called chain elongation, which means converting the fats that you find in vegetables into useful fats, like EPA and DHA, which are good for the brain. Now, it turns out that if you don't have enough EPA or DHA, your health is likely to suffer. And that may be why certain people who are not endowed with this mutation, which is around the FADS1 and FADS2 enzymes in the body, that they don't do as well, that they are unable to, say, eat seeds and nuts and convert the essential fatty acids from vegetarian sources into EPA and DHA. We know that EPA and DHA mostly come from fish and animal sources, and there's some people who just can't derive them from vegetables because they don't have the enzyme. But there's a potential consequence of this, is that folks who are vegetarian and do really well converting the vegetable precursors of essential fatty acids into omega-3s also may too efficiently convert the vegetarian precursors of omega-6s into a pro-inflammatory fatty acid called arachidonic acid. So that's the downside of having this genetic modification. But what's happening now is, as the world's populations mix and intermarry, it may not be as easy to trace whether you are likely to respond well to a vegetarian diet. We may have people of, East Indian origin who do better on a high-protein meat diet, for example. Or we may have folks from China or Japan who do better with high-protein diets. Or we may have folks who are European, very light-skinned Europeans, who may carry the gene. The percentage of the gene, 70% of South Asians, 53% of Africans, 29% of East Asians, and just 17% of Europeans had the vegetarian gene variation. So it's kind of like genetic Russian roulette, whether you'll respond well to vegetarian regimen. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. More to come. 888-302-3684 for Intelligent Medicine.
If you're interested in managing your blood pressure without medication, I have some exciting news about a new effective non-drug treatment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, here to tell you about the Zona Plus. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. It's so effective, it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. At least 22 clinical studies confirm regular use can result in an average decrease of 10% or more in systolic and diastolic blood pressure. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to TryZonaNow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or TryZonaNow.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And could antibiotics actually cause you to flip out? We know that antibiotics have a lot of side effects. Antibiotics can cause diarrhea. Antibiotics can even increase the risk for a very serious form of diarrhea called C. difficile, It's actually a form of colitis. It can be life-threatening. Antibiotics can also increase the risk of allergies if given too often in kids. Antibiotics have been shown to increase the risk of obesity. Yeah, they use them in agriculture to make animals fatter and more valuable when they reach the marketplace. But did you know that antibiotics are an under-recognized cause of delirium? Antibiotic toxicity can represent an unrecognized cause of delirium in hospital patients, according to new research. Now, when patients go into the intensive care unit, there's a lot of reasons why they become delirious. They have a form of mental imbalance called ICU psychosis. And part of it is the sleep-wake cycle is disrupted. The lights are on constantly. You got tubes running in and out of you. The nurses come and bother you every few minutes. And you're sick and you're on powerful medications. So very, very high incidence of disorientation and ICU psychosis. If any of you have watched House of Cards, when Kevin Spacey, well, this is a spoiler alert, so cover your ears, he undergoes a hospitalization, and he's very sick. Okay, sorry if you haven't seen those late episodes, but he literally goes into a delirious state, and he has these nightmarish visions that are characteristic of psychosis. Well, according to this new survey, it's in the February 17th edition of a medical journal called Neurology. Antibiotics can cause a surprisingly high rate of disorientation in hospitalized patients, especially those in the ICU who are critically ill. The rate is as high as 15% among ICU patients, especially those getting powerful antibiotics. So there's several types of delirium. Some are associated with just good old-fashioned penicillin and cephalosporins, drugs like Keflex. The characteristics include seizures, problems with mental focus. Another type is associated with sulfa drugs, fluoroquinolones, that would be Cipro, Levaquin, and macrolides, that would be drugs like Biaxin. And these symptoms closely resemble drug-induced psychotic syndromes or conditions that are triggered by cocaine, amphetamines, or PCP. That sounds like a real bad trip. Another type of mental problem is highly associated with the drug Flagyl, which is used for intestinal infections, parasites, and that may occur even weeks after the initiation of the medication. It affects balance. And so there's a wide spectrum of mental problems associated with antibiotics. Also, some of the medications used for treatment of tuberculosis can cause these mental symptoms. And they have actually been linked to episodes of homicidal or psychotic behavior among our troops returning from theaters of war, where they receive malaria prophylaxis with powerful antibiotic drugs. So the antibiotics not inconsequential in terms of their potential side effects and to be avoided if at all possible. 888-302-3684. No edition of Intelligent Medicine would be complete without a discussion of vitamin D. And vitamin D is back in the news in a couple of ways. Headline, deficient vitamin D levels increase risk for NASH. That's non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. And NASH is actually the major cause of liver disease in this country. That doesn't have to do anything with alcohol. You think, okay, alcohol. No, it's not alcohol. It's not even infectious hepatitis, for which we now have ever more effective medications. The main reason for people going on to liver transplantation, liver failure, is dietary. They get fatty livers. And this is a condition that I just love to treat because you can turn it around in no time with the right nutrients and the right dietary approach. But recent studies have shown that vitamin D deficiency contributes to increased oxidative stress, systemic inflammation, and a variety of metabolic derangements that contribute to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. So, you know, the vitamin D supplementation is a plausible way of forestalling that condition and reversing it, along with the use of other nutrients, in particular vitamin E. Some very good vitamin E studies, milk thistle, alpha-lipoic acid, N-acetylcysteine, phosphatidylcholine. These are among the nutrients that can help to reverse that condition. By the way, drug companies are hot on a track of some kind of magic bullet panacea drug to treat the tens of millions of cases of NASH worldwide that are causing a huge uptick in medical expenditures. You know, we need a drug to fix this, but it is purely and simply a nutritional disease. And by the way, the vast majority of these drugs are crashing and burning. They're not turning out to be safe and effective for treatment of NASH. All right. More on vitamin D. Higher levels of vitamin D correspond to lower cancer risk. This is a study in PLOS-1, which is a major online medical journal. The study sought to determine what blood level of vitamin D was required to effectively reduce cancer risk. And what they found was that higher levels of vitamin D indeed reduce cancer risk. The unit that they give here is women with 25 hydroxy vitamin D concentrations of 40 nanograms per ml or greater had a 67% lower risk of cancer than women with levels of 20 nanograms per ml or less. Okay, we're using milligrams per ml. We're using a conversion where you probably would have to have vitamin D at greater than 20 to get into the category of lower risk by the standard test. They're using a different scale here. So those who have super high levels of vitamin D, not good, but many vitamin D supporters now advocate 800 to 1,000 international units per day. I think that's conservative, and more for persons older than 70 and pregnant or lactating women. And so suggestion is via sunlight or supplementation, address your vitamin D deficiency because, among other medical conditions, it could dramatically increase your risk of cancer. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. When we return, we're going to take a look at another wrong turn that our nutritional gurus have taken with respect to dietary recommendations. Lowering cholesterol with vegetable oils, as they tell you to do, substitute vegetable oils for butter, right? Check out major websites. Website of American Heart Association still says that. Lowering cholesterol with vegetable oils may not curb heart disease risk or help you live longer, according to a new study. We'll tackle that in just a moment here on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684 is a number. And if you don't care to call this hour, if you're driving or if you're busy, or maybe you're just a little shy about getting on the air with me in front of tens of thousands of people, you can just email your question to radioprogram@AOL.com. And no, we won't answer all your questions. We're not an answering service. But we will use your question as grist for the mill for our weekly Q&A with Layla, which is a wonderful podcast feature that you can check out on a weekly basis. And keep listening, because it may take a week or two or three, but eventually we'll get your question and we will engage in a lively discussion about your particular concern. It's radioprogram@AOL.com. The number this hour is 888-302-3684. And just let me issue a clarification. On the last story, people might say, what? Wait, what level of vitamin D corresponds to a lower cancer risk? The takeaway from this study is that women with a vitamin D concentration, that's vitamin D3, of 40 or greater, and I got to tell you, the vast majority of people who don't take supplements, 90% of them have a vitamin, maybe 95% of them, especially in winter, have a vitamin D lower than 40. Women with a vitamin D concentration of 40 nanograms per ml or greater, check this out, had a 67% lower risk of cancer than women with levels of 20 or less. So the optimal level is 40, at least 40, also for bone health, possibly also for cardiovascular health and freedom from autoimmunity, brain health as well, freedom from non-alcoholic steatohepatitis or NASH, otherwise known as fatty liver. So that makes the case for higher supplementation with vitamin D than what's currently recommended, a paltry 600 international units per day. That doesn't cut it for the vast majority of folks out there. All right, come back to the story that I teased before the break. Lowering cholesterol with vegetable oils may not curb heart disease risk or help you live longer. Well, then why do you still go to official websites, websites associated with major organizations like American Heart Association, government recommendations? They say, well, get rid of that butter. Instead, use, quote, healthy vegetable oil. Well, in my mind, that's an oxymoron, because most vegetable oils, unless you're using extra virgin olive oil, are laden with omega-6 fatty acids that ultimately are pro-inflammatory. So they did a study It was called the Minnesota Coronary Experiment, and it followed 9,423 participants from state mental hospitals and a nursing home for up to 4.5 years. Now, why in the world would they do this at state mental hospitals and a nursing home instead of in the general populace? Well, you can carefully control the diet of people in state hospitals and nursing homes, right? They eat what you feed them. They don't go shopping. There are no variables. So the trial tested whether replacing saturated fat with vegetable oil rich in linoleic acid, in this case it was corn oil, bad idea, would reduce the risk of coronary heart disease and death by lowering blood cholesterol levels. And indeed, they did lower cholesterol levels when they replaced saturated fat with vegetable oil. Right? So that's good. Oh, no. It turned out not. It turned out that while you can lower cholesterol with vegetable oils, that does not necessarily translate into a net reduction in cardiovascular risk. And so these trials ultimately failed. And in an editorial, what they said was, quote, "The benefits of choosing polyunsaturated fat over saturated fat seem a little less certain than we thought." Oops, we took a wrong turn several decades ago when we said get the saturated fat out and let's use a lot of vegetable oils. Well, okay, good for the vegetable oil industry, good for canola and mazola and all of safflower oil, soy oil, all those companies that make a fortune selling us low-quality, cheap vegetable oils. And it turns out, okay, yeah, cholesterol's lower. Okay, that's good, right? No, turns out not in terms of the actual outcome, which is coronary heart disease and death. All right, you want to do something good for your aging brain? This article is by Gretchen Reynolds, who is the exercise guru in the New York Times. She published an article this week that suggests that one of the best ways to forestall Alzheimer's disease is via exercise. All right? They did brain scans on individuals who were 65 and older. They followed them for 10 years, 900 participants. The top quartile of active individuals proved to have substantially more gray matter. Gray matter, unlike gray hair, is actually a sign that you're not aging rapidly. The more gray matter you have, the better you're able to think. It's mostly neurons, and it's generally equated with greater brain health. And so you want to preserve your gray matter, do intensive exercise. Doesn't even have to be that intensive. The term physical activity was kind of lenient in this particular study. It included walking, jogging, and moderate cycling, as well as gardening, ballroom dancing, and other calorie-burning recreational pursuits. So just get out there and do it if you want to preserve your brain health. All right, this is particularly exciting for me because for a long time I've been advocating a specific diet for patients with ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. I got on the bandwagon with this around 20 years ago, and I was privileged to be invited to write the introduction to a book called Breaking the Vicious Cycle, which is a revolutionary book that now millions of people have read or downloaded. It's by Elaine Gottschall, who's a pioneer. She's now deceased. But Elaine was a pioneer in the 1950s when she utilized this diet on her own daughter, who was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. Her daughter was an infant at the time. She was thought that she might need an operation. There wasn't much to do for that condition in those days. The powerful drugs that have now been developed weren't around then. And so she learned of a diet that was a grain-free diet that allowed certain specific carbohydrates. It wasn't a no-carbohydrate diet because you can't raise a baby on virtually a no-carbohydrate diet. And she published a book called Breaking the Vicious Cycle. Breaking the Vicious Cycle has helped tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of sufferers of ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease to get better. So finally, the very conservative Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America has undertaken a study. Well, better late than never. First ever national study of dietary interventions to treat Crohn's disease receives funding, and they're on their way with a $2.5 million award to study the effectiveness of the specific carbohydrate diet versus an ordinary Mediterranean-style diet to induce remission in patients with Crohn's disease. So that's pretty cool. The study seeks to compare the effectiveness of the SCD, the specific carbohydrate diet, versus a healthy Mediterranean diet in inducing symptomatic and clinical remission and reducing the mucosal inflammation in patients with active Crohn's disease. Finally, they're going to study it, and that is good news for Crohn's disease sufferers. And, just shows these big monolithic organizations, they're behind the times in adopting recommendations that have helped thousands and thousands of patients. But I guess through some targeted advocacy by sufferers of Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, they've made their parent foundation, the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America, take heed. And instead of just getting behind drug solutions, looking at important lifestyle interventions to reduce the burden of that disease. So good news on the Crohn's and colitis front. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.